Christmas Wish Rhythm. It's Mishka featuring Samus Jamel. No Place. Great Lovers Rock vibe to that one. That Jingle Bell vibe as well. 26 minutes to 7 o'clock. It's Page and Rhythm and Rhyme. We are on. And let's say good evening to the boss man himself, Sluggy Dan. Happy New Year to you.
Manners and respect. Manners and respect. Making sure you hear me good. Everything is sweet over there. The audio clear.
It's been a whole year since we spoke, so yeah.
As we're talking about blessings, a happy new year to you, bro. Big up everyone in VOB world. This is Beijing Rhythm and Rhyme, you know, the nation's number one show when it comes to Barbadian culture on the whole. And thank you so much for rocking with us all last year. It is a new year. And we are on until right throughout the year. So I want to thank everyone for that. And I must thank the NTA for that Nano Transformation Initiative. Want to encourage everyone to go over there to www.nta.org.bb and check out all the awesome courses they have to offer. They are all free. You don't need internet or data to do the courses either. And it's not a system to fail is you move on to the next step as you understand each step. So it's not a course that you can fail. It's not designed like that. So I think that's a great way to launch education. So I want to thank the BT. I want to thank the NTI for coming on board with us and, you know, and working with someone like myself. I really, really appreciate that. And I got to shout out the BTMA as well, Barbados Tourism Marketing Inc., for giving BIM Got Talent young people an opportunity to perform all across Barbados. Have had about 7 or 8 shows at various communities, and our young people from BIM Got Talent were featured at every event. So I'm extremely pleased for that. And I want to thank Barbados so much for coming out and supporting what we do. Man, I really appreciate it. Good evening to the great, and you know, especially how things went. Listen, Ronnie, especially how things went in 2021, let me tell you something. I am a bit spooked, yes, but I'm not going to be short saying things like this. I want to say good evening to the legend, one of the greats ever, Mr. Kid Saint. The old things went in 2021, Kid Saint. I think all the prayers in the world you are going to get this year is still not even enough for what you've done for the culture and community. You're one of the persons that made people like me believe that I can come from anywhere and do anything. Because that's for me, that's what you did. You know what I mean? A man from Black Rock who then went to Harrison College, who then come and conquer the dub world and then went on to conquer the soccer world and working in the community. And he's also a tax expert. Anything we want help with any of my youngsters or any youngsters fail or understand the taxes, he's someone to go to as well. So not just music. And Ronnie plays many different roles in society that the wider public might not know to the extent of how much he stretched himself, because so he's got hundreds of people to help when he come at me outside of his job. So I must commend you, Kid Saint, for always reaching out a helping hand and helping out above and beyond the call of duty, outside the music, outside of your profession, as just being a good person. So we want to say we respect you and we appreciate everything you do for the country going forward. And we hope to have you here for much, much longer. Continue to do what you do, my brother. Thanks for coming. I want to say good evening to Mr. Randy Eastman, you know, the boss on here because I'm doing some great things, great things are about to happen. So I want to big up Randy Eastman from Quantum Productions. And the lady at the hour, I want to say good evening to Mishka Gill. Mishka Gill is a former Queen's College student who's now a medical student. And she's also a vocalist. And the song played before, No Place Like Home, which featuring Samis and was sung by her. Extremely good vocalist. So I want to say good evening, Mishka Gill. How are you?
Hi, good evening, Sluggy. Good evening to the rest of the host. And good evening to Barbados. I'm doing quite well. And how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Who are you, Randy?
Are you watching you, bro?
She put me on his phone. I didn't know if she asked about that question. You know
me? Glad. How are you
laughing? Yeah, how are you? I was almost honest too. She nearly get me on air, boy. You know, even almost said the truth. So I'm sure, Mishka, how is music? How is battling music and medical school? I saw that you still, I know exams coming up. I know you had a rough schedule and this year been crazy. But I still see videos of you performing places and smiling, you know. I was having a conversation this morning, and if you know how rare a smile is, we the outside on the block this morning, right? And people was passing, and at first to me it was like a joke for everybody passing the face through. But then the man was like, manners this year weird, yeah, this year freaky, yeah. Randy, how are you seeing people smile? So to see, and you can imagine that, like, that's a very, very serious thing. Especially we culture, because we culture is about our culture, we culture skinny remote, though, like, skinny remote. You know what I mean? They can't say that anymore, Beijing. That's because we culture, Randy, though, that's correct. Like talking nonsense. Me dad's house. I know smoking, but talking nonsense more than on stage, B. No, and people know that.
Yeah.
You know, you need it. That part, and I'm
full
sharp.
Full
class, but sharp. You know, and that we culture meets you so about. So when you can see someone like you doing medical school, but still doing music and still being able to smell through all of that, well, what keeps you so brownie? What keeps that smile on your face?
I think first and foremost, I always credit everything that I do to God, because that's the truth. Mm-hmm. That's my center. So I try to maintain my center, and then things don't always go how I want them to go, but I always come back to my center. So even when I sway to the left, once I find back my center, then I remember I have something to smile about. Because for me, is if I wake up, every day that I wake up, that's a reason to smile, because I have a chance to make up for the day in front. And in terms of balancing school and music, honestly, this is my third year of medical school. It took me, I won't even say that I have found my balances yet, but I'm still finding it. I'm better now than I was in my first year, of course. But
that's what matters.
Yeah, still trying to find a balance. And I think the thing has been to prioritize the things that are important to me and the things that I find value in. So I actually had to start literally writing down, scheduling time for, all right, I'm going to take this time to read. I'm going to take this time. And I mean read outside of school, obviously, because I enjoy reading. I'm going to take this time to listen to music. I can take this time to spend with family, that type of stuff. I actually had to physically write it down to kind of, until I got myself into a rhythm where I could do it without writing it.
So that's we can stay there, rich as simple as that song, Mishka. Mm-hmm. I think that's very helpful, because it just writing for me, that worked for me as well. Mm-hmm. Which I should do more, but hearing you say that you actually write on everything that you've been, you get time, you can read, and you said mm-hmm. even outside of your school work, so it means that you was being dedicated to what you know you must do to keep some form of semblance in your life. So mm-hmm. you're saying all you want your life to feel, because we all want to feel natural, we don't want to feel mm-hmm. robotic, but you're saying you still had to put down things in order to keep some form of semblance. What made you come to that realization? Listen to me. Or I don't want to feel my life is going along. Let me take control of this in a structured way. What made you came to that realization?
All right. So two things. First of all, those of you who know Randy know how militant Randy is. So with Randy, I have to have my stuff together, because he likes things to be in a particular order.
He likes
things to have sequence and to make sense, so I can't be scatterbrained with Randy. That's one. And then two, in my first year at I should say my first year in the medical science faculty at Cave Hill, we actually had to do a personal development portfolio. And honestly, initially, it annoyed me because I could not understand what it had to do with what I was doing. But the more that I participated in the activities, the more I understood the necessity of it. So we would actually have to rate ourselves. We would get a table with a list of items, and we would have to rate ourselves. So say we had a scale from 1 to 5, and I would have to say how good I think I am at balancing schoolwork, how good I am at finding time outside of schoolwork for friends and family, how good I am at taking tests, a personal development portfolio. And this,
this
went on for over the first year. So I guess obviously this was our introduction into the medical faculty. So I guess that was also to help build balance. And we had to write at the end of it all, we had to write an essay saying what we learned from the process, the personal, having to complete the exercises. We had to say difficulties that we had, positives, and the ways that we coped, that type of stuff. So initially, I didn't understand it because I felt as though it was taken away from my study time. But I realized a lot of the stuff that I had to do then, I am using it now to not only cope with school, but cope with stuff outside of school as well. And I also, it was during this process that I also, I started talking to a therapist. And this will be news to a lot of people. But yes, I started therapy because I realized, yes, I am a Christian. So, you know, people usually say, God, pray to God. Yes, yes, I believe in that. But I also believe that God placed people here with talents to assist us here on earth. So there's a reason that there's psychologists, psychiatrists, and I found that I had some stuff that I wanted to get to the root of. So I started talking to a therapist, and I will make a plug here for anybody, everybody, to get you to talk to a therapist. There's nothing wrong with it. And I would say that I, when I was younger, I probably would have been one of the persons who thought that therapy was something taboo or something for let's just say it. I used to think it was something taboo, but now I understand the beauty of it and the importance of taking care of not only physical but mental health, because that's where everything is put into perspective and is just as important. As much as I would get up and eat an apple or I would get up and exercise, I also need to take care of my mental health. So yeah, that's a mouthful, but yeah.
You're fine. Yeah, I know, very, very well said. You find that things like the personal development portfolio, mm-hmm. and therapy, those two things separately. You find that those two things separately help you in life period, outside of being able to study, outside of being able to find cam and, you know, memorize the school and all that. You find in life period as a young lady, as a woman, you find that personal development portfolio and therapy, you find that total help you period.
Most definitely, because I had, and I'm still working through some issues as we speak, but in doing the exercises and in speaking to the therapist, it started to bring up a lot of things that I didn't even realize that I kind of put off to the side, things that I didn't deal with, and I just left them there to fester, and it became a monster, and I didn't even realize. So, you know, talking through certain things, there's some things you won't sit and you won't think about it off the bat, but when you're talking to somebody else or actually physically writing out feelings or writing out your thoughts, I find that helps a lot as well. That journaling is also something that was taboo for me, and when I actually started writing my feelings or writing what I want to do, that type of stuff, is very therapeutic. That's the truth. So yes, I would say that both therapy and the personal development portfolio, it has assisted in my progress and helping me to become who I want to be and getting me where I want to go.
Yeah, that's so great. And good evening, everyone. If you'll be kind of shift your notes when your name. We're talking to Misha Gill, medical student, and she's a vocalist, a singer, and a musician as well. Very, very great vocalist. And she's doing very well in school as well. How rewarding it is, Misha, right? Mm-hmm. How rewarding it is. Because, you know, we can be a bit rude. You know, sometimes life can be really coming at you. Mm-hmm. Really come crashing down. And then sometimes you feel like, I ain't getting a hold of nothing. You know what I mean? But then, when everything done, you know, grades in school look good. You sing like your performance, you're able to listen back to it, it sounds fairly good. And then life comes out in the end, right? How rewarding that feeling is. I mean, outside of anyone seeing, outside of a crowd being there, just for you inside, you know, just for you. And obviously, you know, you stated the reason first and foremost why you do it. You know what I mean? And because of the creator. And you know, it's all praise to God. So how rewarding it is when you trust in Him, mm-hmm. and you trust in God, and you say, "All right, these things are crashing. The building coming down. The roof coming down. You can see it hitting your head." Man, listen, God can protect me. You know what I mean? He can mm-hmm. find me a way to run. He can show me a door to cut you so it won't hit me. But it's having that trust instead of just giving it and letting it crash in for you. Yeah. I want you to explain to young people how rewarding that feeling is to you inside. When you trust in Him, and then you see it all come together. I know it ain't easy. So we ain't gonna poo-poo it and make it seem like, you know me, Randy, like it's the same because it's not. But for me, I know there's some rewarding feeling, and for you, it's gonna be even deeper feeling than myself than they can explain or understand. Get me? Mm-hmm. They want you to explain that for, especially for young people listening, because as you know, all my young people tune in, so bigger all my young ones, they got kind of locked on.
So as you say, I am not going to sit here and pretend that everything goes perfect for me, because that could not be further from the truth. Honestly, there are some days where I sit on my bed with my books in front of me, and it's just tears. Like, I'm breathing and I'm not retaining nothing, and I'm just sitting in tears. That's the truth. You can ask Randy, you can ask my family. Some days I have to reconsider, why am I doing this?
Yes.
And yes. I actually have to take stock of where, because a lot of people don't know my story, but it took me a while to get into medical school, and the path that I had in mind was not the one which I chartered. So it took me longer than most, but I'm here. And as I keep telling people, keep in mind that delayed does not mean denied. And
I can tell you.
Yeah.
I can tell you, girl.
Each of us, we have a story that's unique to us. So because some person went from point A to B to C, it doesn't mean that you won't go from point A to Z. Y'all may end up at the same destination, but yours may be different. And there's a reason why things go the way they go. And for me, it has been to try to see the good in situations where there's no good. And that something that's so hard to do, because it's like, why it seems like it keeps happening to me. But for me, it has been to, as I say, look at my center. Remember who, yes, that's exactly it. Remember who I am and whose I am. And that always brings me back to my center, as I said before, yeah.
That's real, Misha. That's real, because people need to know that it's not all together, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
It's not all rice and gravy, but if you hold on to that center and that anchor, you know what I mean? The rewards will be even sweeter. And I like that you were open and said that the path you took was longer than the average person, you know what I mean? But the story in that is, you were still on the course, you know what I mean? You might tell yourself, I can go to Short Hill and then get to the dump. But when you go to Short Hill, they're blocked. So you gotta grow and go through out of sea. You gotta go through out of sea. But you tell yourself, listen, I am still going to the dump.
Correct.
You get me? So I like that you was open about that, and let's make it feel, people feel that it's easy. But at least people know the truth that it's not easy, but that mean it can be done, because you're still doing it. Yeah. Whether it's easy or not, you're still doing it. Like you said, we end up the same place, we took different roads, mm-hmm. but we still here, and it's one mission still.
Correct.
Because all doctors have still got one mission. So that's a great lesson, and I'm so glad. I love talking to you. Always off here, you know. Hardly ever on here. But it's for me, it's good when young women, and they must say this, young black women could speak so intelligently about matters that would not normally be heard on here. And then you were so open and honest about your journey and how you got there. But you show people that it ain't easy. I cry most nights, and you open on formal about it. But you let people know, but listen, they're still doing it. So if you're going on a journey, join the journey with me. And then you say you're doing it for one reason still. So you're still maintaining the reason. And it's good, Randy. Maybe you could got young people speaking about these things. You understand? Yeah. Because young people need to see that. Listen, she ain't turning to the door. She ain't turning to the marijuana. She ain't turning to alcohol. You know what I mean? She ain't there for stealing. You know what I mean? She said she do it for this reason. It still ain't easy, but she still do it, which means other people could do it. So I really, really want to thank you for sharing your story, you know, and I think it's a great one. And I know for sure that you can keep on the path. And yes, when you finish, we can have a big celebration on air for sure. sure. We have a big celebration on air, you know, be here. And on behalf of Ronnie and myself and the whole entire StarCom Nation, Mishka, we want to wish you all the best in your studies, and we look forward to calling you Dr. Mishka Gill.
Thank you so very much. It was a pleasure to be here.
That's no problem, man. That's no problem. That was Mishka Gill. Big up, Mishka Gill. No Place Like Home, you know, that big track that I love. She's one of my favorite vocalists. People always hear me speak about Mishka Gill and Lisa Griffith, you know, them two favorite vocalists. I know that they didn't say a favorite female vocalist. Them two favorite vocalists, period. So big up them. You know what I mean? Then you know a third and fourth is Bruton and Lil Rick, because they're nothing a lot more than Bajan dialect. For sure. Yeah, Bajan. So bigger them. So Mr. Kidstay and Randy, let me look. Yes. Let me look at last year.
Yeah, Randy. I just want to say I'm glad to be here on the show. It was a wonderful show for years. That's a tremendous artist. Youngsters and veterans, so I'm glad to be here again. You gonna tell me what happened last year?
No, good. No,
what happened last year?
No, listen.
I think that this girl is right. Fighting.
Yeah. Yes, to me too. This year looking promising, but listen to me. I want to ask you how safe it feels. I want to ask you that, and then I want Randy's honest opinion. We getting down to the nitty gritty. It's starting hot. It looks good. And this for Ronnie as well. This question is for all of y'all. It looks good. Yes, I want to party. I want to know, do we feel safe? Okay, so you could go first, and then Randy.
But what was the question again? Repeat the question again.
I want to know, do we feel safe? Do we feel safe and confident in partying?
The authorities, as we can see by the results, have a handle right now on the pandemic. The medical authorities have a handle on it. We reached our peak around August, September, October. We reached our peak, and now we're coming down off the peak. If it continues like this, you can see a big kind of activity going on with the entertainment industry. That's definite, because already they're free up the effects and thing already. And as I say, if it continues as it is right now, we will have a lot of activity this year, and a probably renewed activity now. As the long lady said there, what she said, delay is not denial. I can't remember what she said. That was a very crucial thing she said there.
She said delay does not mean denial.
Exactly, delay doesn't mean denial. And I am excited. I have some big national projects I wanted to be execute. And I've been waiting for a long time. And I'm looking forward to 2022. Very much so. I think that, as I said, the medical authorities have a handle on the pandemic. And unless something else comes sinister now, I think we're cruising right now to a very full activity season for entertainers. Full activity year, I should say, for entertainers.
Randy, how you feel going forward, buddy? How you feel going forward with entertainment? How are you? What is your honest feeling from last year going into this year, boy?
You know, I like to push the envelope. And good night to Kidstay. I want to stress on what you said just now. Delay is not denial, right? And I believe that, I don't think we're out of the woods yet. I want to see entertainment come back to its full potential. I also want to see the industry grow from strength to strength and improve from where it was. But I commend the authorities for what they have done thus far to contain, you know, the whole COVID-19 pandemic. The efforts that they've made, the medical team has been fantastic. You know, being around a medical student as well, you get some information and a different level of understanding of what is actually going on the ground. But for me, as a promoter and an entertainer, I still am concerned, to be honest. I don't think that we are at a point yet to move to a full reopening of the industry. I think gradually we can get there. There are minute things that we can do in silos that will facilitate a reopening of the industry incrementally. But I think we still need to take stock of what is actually happening internationally. With the advent of the Omicron variant, there are still several things that should be considered in how we move forward as an industry, how we incrementally apply the pressure to get back to where we were before. I don't even know if that is something that we can say, to get back to where we were. I don't even know if that will exist, because we can't speak to the future. We can't speak to the duration of this pandemic, and it just seems as though new permutations of this virus and variant are coming to the fore. And it is something that we have to monitor. It's something that we have to take stock of, and it will call for diversity on our part as entertainers, on our part as promoters, having the protocols at events. I've heard of the entertainment associations and the promoters making sure those protocols are in place. So that could be a good thing, you know. I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good effort by everyone, but I still am concerned, and I'm being honest about that.
Nice. Okay. No, I want to, Ronnie. I've got a question for Ronnie, right?
But you asked. But you put the former one to me too.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, well, question to you too.
Well,
hit it, Ronnie.
Last year would have marked my 40th year in entertainment as an active performer on stage. 40 years. Some people only know Ronnie Clark as the announcer because of the controversy, etc. But I started doing rock and roll and pop as a 10-year-old, and then went into rap, break dancing, reggae, dancehall, DJing. So I did that before I even came into the Kaiser Arena in 2004. So, and then looking at entertainment from the perspective of being a broadcaster gives me a fairly rounded view. As it relates to entertainment, last year was a disaster. Not in terms of the talent that we have, not in terms of the ability we have, but regarding what became the standard for entertainment activity, and that is Crop Over, Reggae Festival, Hennessy Artistry, FETs of different types, high-end FETs, in inverted commas, low-end FETs, entertainment in hotels, and so on. It was a disaster, and that's not the fault of any political party or government. And that was primarily created by COVID-19 and the attempts and measures to deal with the pandemic, and not only entertainment, but other facets of our society and cultural, communal activity also being devastated. And the economy, of course, very much a part of that. So anybody who thinks that we're going to be back at a full Crop Over season with all the fetes and the brunch events and, yeah, you know, the band, all-inclusive parties with a spinning pig, you got to be joking. Not in 2022. Not if he's serious. Social distancing, yes. But what's been missing from the reports I've received about activities which have operated under the current, and I say current, measures which have been advanced? You can't dance, per se. You can't get home bad like you used to in certain events. You can't mix freely. And all of that is part of what the previous experience was about. So that's a challenge, because it's a limited form of the previous activity that became so popular. And that cuts across classes and demographics, because those 50 and up have something different from those who are 18 to 35, etc. It doesn't allow promoters to really make the kind of money or potentially make the kind of money that they did before. It doesn't. Nobody can pull that wool over your eyes. It cannot. A maximum capacity of 500 with all of the measures that you have to undertake, it's not going to give you that return unless you're bringing in someone that you could charge $1,000 each, get sponsors who are dedicated to underpinning that activity because they want that exclusive association with an event that's never been done before like that, which is going to give them the eyes and the ears of consumers. Volume in terms of drinks, not the same. So we are in a very difficult time. What I would like to see more, you see, the focus is on pleasure. The focus is on dangling a carrot in front of people so they can be excited by pleasure. But we can't limit our existence to that. We've got to include it. But creativity is more than pleasure. It's also art in and of itself. I'm disappointed because we haven't recorded more music across all genres. Now, the NCF has done an excellent job in the visual and digital aspect, not only of music, but art and cultural stories and, you know, our history. I think as far as being online is concerned, they've done much more than people are aware of because people only see Crop Over. People only see NIFCA. So if you don't have the same preliminaries for NIFCA and the semifinals for NIFCA and the gala final, people think you ain't doing anything, but that's not true. And you don't have to wait for a competition or a season which drives most of the performances in Barbados. Come on, I mean, we don't really get a series of events and activities outside of the major things that we see as the cornerstones of what we do in Barbados. But where are the songs? Where are the duets? Where are the mini albums? So that when activity does open up, you have a repertoire of something that can cater to that. Not that you're recording for that. You're recording because you just want to express your art as brilliantly as possible. I mean, Nicholas did a few spooge things, which we've seen in that close to independence period. A few more Christmas songs came out this year than before. So 2 Mile Hill, Mishka the previous year, Mikey and John Yar been doing some great work, Keisha Christian. So we're starting to get there, but we have to create more work. People aren't creating because it's expensive, there's no money, but we need to have an alliance between producers and artists. And it can't just be the government studio that was opened a couple of years ago. It can't be that. We have to have that encouragement to get our artists writing and singing that original work. And even if you're going to do covers, choose covers wisely. There is a place for covers. So we have the talent, we have the ability, we have a desire, but I think we have to be more honest about what's going on. And let me say this. I said this last week, I'm saying it again. The requirement for promoters, artists, and event staff to be fully vaccinated and tested, while patrons can be either vaccinated or tested, that is a worry for me. For me, I understand, well, let's do something at least to start. But if it stands as it is discrimination. And I will not support discrimination. I support everybody's choice. You see, people want to push you in a corner where you don't really have a choice. If you have the desire to do that and move forward, that's your choice. But I cannot support that. And I will not support that personally, me. But if you understand where the current situation is and it impacts upon you in a different way, then by all means, go ahead. It's lawful. You see, there's a scripture that says, everything that is lawful is not necessarily beneficial. Expedient. Everything that is, and another translation says, permissible, but not beneficial. And that's where we are right now. We have to recognize that Omicron, look, the cruise ship industry is being told by the United States government, don't go on cruises. The vaccination rate of cruise passengers is exceptionally high. But and they've got entertainers on board there too. We're asking entertainers to perform, but they're not on the cruise ship per se, where we've got them in open venues here. They're there. They've got millions of dollars. They've got bubbles. They've got all kind of thing. Same thing in professional sport. NBA, NFL. You look at the English Premier League. It's the same. It is the same thing. So it shows you that this is not saying, well, you are, you aren't, I'm coming for you. And it's relatively new. And it's spreading quick. Now, I saw on social media today, video of activity in Barbados last night. And let me tell you something. We have to be joking to say that things like that can happen and be approved. No way. We can't be serious. But then you would hear that only a certain segment of the population is a threat. Got to be kidding. And here we are now in an election period. Politics is entertaining to some, or at least a campaign meeting or anything associated with campaigning. And you want to get out and you want to hear, not everybody's going to check it out on YouTube, right? So it can't be that in certain spheres of life, we have a rule, and then in other spheres, we don't have that same rule. For me, the artists, promoters, and the event staff, those who are not vaccinated are being discriminated against. Because right now they have no choice. They have no choice. And how can you be on stage and the crowds in front of you maybe 6 feet away? And many of the people in that crowd have not done what you have to do. But you're in the same venue, even if you're 10 feet apart. Is there something special between the entertainer and the patron that I don't know about? I don't think so. Not based upon what's happening around the world. So, got to be careful. Very careful. We have the talent. We have everything. But it will never be the same. Not in the next couple of years. Do you see 60,000 people watching Kadouman and 10,000 revelers in various bands going down like we used to, coming down Station Hill? Out there by the corner, turning traffic lights, going on to Bank Hall. I don't see it. I don't see it. Unless, of course, what currently infects us moves from that pandemic status into something that we officially, scientifically acknowledge as being something that we're going to live with, like a type of flu, etc. But Norway, but yeah. We got to create more. And there's a feeling that many of the artists aren't looked at, whereas a cadre of artists are turning up all the time in certain projects and events. Even now. Even though that was a comment you would hear during the pre-COVID season, you hear it now. And I think we have to be more supportive and encouraging, because if things are allowed to operate, that even if not intentioned, I would put that much out there in terms of leeway, that can discriminate, then what else will come if people feel that that process was good? What else is it? So it's not just limited to entertainment, it's society on the whole. We have to be vigilant. Can't be distracted.
Well said, Ronnie.
Yeah. Yes, so Randy,
sure.
Ronnie, one of the things Ronnie said for sure, Ronnie, okay, so is that certainly all those who thinking that we getting back to anywhere near how it was fooling themselves, because absolutely not, it will not happen. I don't think in the near future, Randy, we can go back to anything that we had before.
Yeah.
So going forward, what are the things we can do, Cole? We see how last year was. We had the year before last year to prepare. Because in 2020, we had Corona, and we kind of went through it. We came again in 2021, made some of the same mistakes. So now this is 2022, a third year. How can we avoid repeating mistakes? Or is it because of the unpredictability of the disease? Can we really prepare?
That's the other thing. I don't think we can predict the disease. I think the unpredictability of it is a very, very serious factor and condition to moving forward. Can we prepare? As Ronnie said, not at the scale that we are accustomed to, and not at the scale that it makes sense viably for a promoter. I believe there are smaller things that we can do that can inject the culture at a very small scale, and the NCF has been very instrumental in being the catalyst for that for the last 2 years or so. But if we are to look at viability, profitability, and the normalcy of the industry, we really can't plan for it, because any promoter who's going to enter a venture or continuously enter ventures for entertainment, they're looking to make money. I think these last few events, yes, they wanted to make money, but I think everyone just wanted a little release. Everybody just wanted a little getaway from what has been happening, you know. So I'm not necessarily sure profitability was the focus. I think everybody just wanted to get a chance to get back to some level of what they're accustomed to. But if it's going to be sustainable, you really can't plan for what's going on. If so many variants are coming out, and if we understand the mutation of a virus and what happens when Optimus Prime comes now in 3 months time, right? We had Delta, we had Omicron, and you got another variant coming. What happens at that point? This one, you know, it may be less mild. I don't know. And as Ronnie said, it may be a point where the CDC or the World Health Organization says, hey, this is something that we're going to have to live with. It's going to be commonplace. And until then, you really can't plan for it.
I just want to say this. We have to acknowledge the trends when people adapt. Well, pivot is a word that's very fashionable right now. The traditional FET scene is dead as it stands. And I'm not aware of any sizable underground type of activity taking place. What happened is that restaurants, with artists performing in restaurants with no admission fee but buying food and drink, became a very common feature for entertainment last year. Now, when the normal things were happening, nobody paid that any mind. They really didn't. But for the most part, it became the only thing for a certain category of musician, vocalist, performer, or creative to benefit from, whether it be comedy, dance, folk songs, love songs, a little sweet soca, etc. You would look across social media and see these flyers with entertainment being prominent in what the bars and the restaurants were offering. Come and see X, come and see Y. Dining starts at Z. And for those persons who were able to secure maybe two or three of those type of gigs, as we call it, that's a lifeline. Similarly, in bars, where, you know, you've got the rules, you can't go to the bar and stand up and drink, etc. But if you've got seating, outside seating, you can sit down. You would have a DJ, but nobody's dancing on the floor as they did 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're a DJ that could get three or four of these bars, you play the music for them. I'm not sure what kind of fee you're going to get. It may not be the type of fee that you're accustomed to when you're one of six DJs on a card and you've got 3,000 people jamming, and it's been promoted by Soft Drink X or or whiskey, wine, and brandy, and it's just constant on all the radio stations in the country, you realistically can't expect that type of money to come into your hand from a smaller bar. But what's for sure is that if you own a property, you have a head start. The independent promoter, unless they have a tremendous relationship with the property owner, doesn't have the same leverage as the owner who is of an establishment who's also doing a promotion, which isn't a paid event, but it's a night where you would expect to hear, let's say, DJ Ronkite, and he's playing the music. But even how they advertise that, they have to be careful, because they cannot advertise it in such a way that they are appearing to create a scene where there's a crowd that will run counter to the protocols that we currently observe. So that means if you wanted to be engaged in the commercial activity, the limited commercial activity of entertainment, then you need to look at those establishments that have been doing that, let's say, for the last 8 months. Because if you look hard enough, you're going to see that's happening. But I do want to mention, there is a perception that things like karaoke, which can't be done by the average Bajan in their bar, has been done on properties where tourists are. So I want to know, what is the difference between karaoke for tourists and karaoke for Bajans? Even if it was once or for a few weeks, because there were clips out there of that being the case.
Being a tourist, don't go under the same guidelines and protocols.
No, so I'm saying, I understand that people may not be able to leave their homes and stay out after midnight. I understand that. And if you're a tourist and you're on a property that offers entertainment, great. But I'm speaking specifically now to the things that I would have seen where, you know, there would have been a bit of dancing, and there certainly was karaoke. Because karaoke has been a big money earner for many shops in Barbados over the last few years. It's been huge. You have an oldie goldie DJ there who also has a karaoke system. People come out and spend the money that they may have to pay in admission in drinks. That's and that fuels the drinks business. It fuels the food business in terms of the bulk purchase of food for sale, whether it be chicken, whether it be hot dogs, whether it be hamburgers, vegetables for salad that is served along with it. And that has just been demolished.
But Ronnie,
yeah,
you're aware that during 2020, karaoke was raging, and it's only because of the onset of the Delta variant that they started to cut down karaoke. But I judge karaoke competitions all through 2020, and they had some great crowds.
Well, they're online now. But who's buying drink? Who's buying the drinks to watch the online version of the competition?
I mean, it was online in 2020. We had live karaoke in 2020.
I mean now.
We had live karaoke in 2020.
I mean
now. Since the Delta variant came on the scene, this is curtailed everything. The whole bottom line thing that amazes me is that the only industry that seems to be tremendously staggered by the pandemic tremendously is the entertainment industry. Because others have gone on, they've continued as they are.
Because of representation. That's
because
of representation.
Representation is one thing, but I think the nature of entertainment in Barbados in the Caribbean is also a principal reason why we have this dilemma. You know, I don't think anybody's there trying to stop entertainers from making money. I'm just saying that the culture of what we do. And if you go on social media and look at the videos of what happened last night, you would see that people are willing to throw away caution just to get that vibe, right? Irrespective of what they can get or what they can't get. It's about risk and risk management. And it's about choice at the end of the day. And if people choose to put themselves in a venue like that in these times. And you said we had it under control. But the figures that I'm seeing now with 200 a day show me that we're back. We're heading back where we were before. It was down to 70 and 40, etc. The statistics aren't there, and as we are a market that is dominated tourist-wise by the United Kingdom in particular, England had record infections today. And they've had record daily infections over the past couple of weeks. And you know, Barbados is a lovely place that people want to come, and the cricketers are coming too. So by the same token, at cricket, everybody's saying you got to be fully vaccinated and tested, and you got to be you have to be if you want to watch cricket, but you have to be if you want to watch football too. And they still got, it can't be breakthrough infections anymore, because there's so many more than the odd infection, because you're already highly vaccinated, right? So we have to prepare for those things too. And in things like football, everybody gets tested now, right? The fully vaccinated and the unvaccinated. It can't be, well, you're fully vaccinated, so I'm not testing you. So then the question is, as long as we are open and people come in, what is the best way for us to ensure that everybody has a current result, a present result? It can't be, you know, you're not, so you do it. And you have fewer days to do it in. Not with the trends that we are seeing now, especially as they come from our source market. And if the cruise industry shutting down, it's a serious thing.
I just saw an article with some new variants, but because we're on radio, we'll announce that. But yeah, people can go on and chat. They got some new stuff out on right now, live and direct.
Yeah, so Randy. One of the major places that were affected, because you come to you first on education, then they're going to Kitse on community. Randy first. One of the major places that was affected also was music in school. Mm. That's the issue that I want you and I to speak about. No, what I mean is the lack thereof, and what do you think the effects will be for us not being to really do music? No, there's every other subject, so I'm not saying that, but we will bring math teachers and people and experts to speak about that. You understand, Randy? So, yes, other areas affected, which is agriculture, is one as well, for sure. The agriculture, science in school, that must be affected heavily as well, and sports. So, but being by have you here, bro, I want you to really speak on how music was affected in school and what are the things we need to adopt immediately going forward where music and school is concerned.
I gotta be cautious how I reply to you on that. I would say, as everybody would, what is obvious in that, yeah, ensemble playing within schools was heavily affected. Group learning, band playing, etc. was heavily affected, obviously, because of the pandemic. So as a result, solo playing as well, because you wouldn't have had much instructional guidance from your music tutors, one-on-one, face-to-face interaction with your music teachers as a music student. So I think a lot of the practice and performance was guided via online, which is not necessarily recommended, because with music, you need that level of modeling, you need that level of mentorship and guidance in person. Okay, so I would say that at the level of performance, I think the pandemic has impacted significantly on music learning in a practical sense. The theoretical component would have been affected, but not as heavily as the practical component, because through the virtual and the blended approaches, you can still continue with the theoretical approach. Music CXCs were still completed, so I'm not saying that it wasn't possible, but it was hindered in some way. Going forward, the only fix for it really and truly is to ensure that practical music learning is a part of every single child's education. I mean every single child, not just a few. We've done this over and over, Sluggy, in terms of what the science says, what the scholarly literature speaks to with reference to the effects of music. You have the Mozart effect. Writers such as Rauscher et al., Swanwick and Tillman have spoken to the level of influence that music has on the psychological component of the human brain. Several other studies have shown the positive impacts of music, and I always advocate for music to be in a part of the curriculum and being part of every single child's upbringing. Whether they become a music performer at some point, it doesn't matter. At least some level of music appreciation and musical interaction for every child is necessary going forward.
So good. So a question now. Looking at what we all did last year, and I don't just mean music from a school standpoint. I mean you and I on our personal journeys as well. Do you think going forward now with the young ones, Randy, right, we can use technology, equipment, and open air spaces to safely have that in-person engagement with music is concerned? You think it could be safely done? Do you think we have the adequate space and trained personnel to do it? And I don't just mean in school, because no, like I said, what you do, what I do, what kids do, what Mahalia do, what Gainan do, is all important as well. You understand me? So I must point a finger at myself to look at ways in which BIM Got Talent and Quantum and Youth in Spotlight could also help our children within what we have.
Yeah.
You understand? So open air, so these three things, open air spaces, technology and equipment, those three things. Are there any ways we could employ those three things to do in person training?
You can, but again, if COVID-19 protocols are in place and you're gonna follow that, and you're saying social distancing is a part of that, it technically means as an instructor, if I wanted to, like on this guitar, if I wanted to say, well, you don't have the correct position on the guitar, and I need to come with you to instruct that and guide that, then you're basically infringing on that person's personal space. But that is a touch. That is a touch that you really. I mean, there's another way. I can stand in front of you, at a distance, hold my guitar, you hold yours, and I model it for you. But there's a personal touch to a music teacher who may come over and shape your hand on the guitar, on the saxophone, on the trumpet, wherever, guide the mouthpiece as to where it's supposed to sit. Thing, but there are ways around it. But I guess because I had the experience teaching in that one-on-one environment, it will require some level of adapting. It'll be interesting to see what new literature will come out in terms of going forward and teaching in a practical environment with social distancing and under COVID-19 protocols. Yet to see anything released in that regard. I have seen the use of masks with the splits for brass players. I think the youth orchestra would use some. When we first went back into school, I would have written the protocols for that, for use of wind instruments in a COVID-19 environment, along with social distancing. But I'm yet to see the scholarly literature in terms of the approach to that personal touch and how do you get around that? How do you benefit your children from modeling and instructional and practical learning components to music education?
Nice. I like that, Randy. And I'm sure with the way things going on, and like the Ministry of Education and the NCS, I see them trying to be as progressive as possible within the loop. You understand, with all the many things that are going on, man. You know, using various studios and various spaces. And so I'm sure we can see something soon. And what we'd like to see occupied a lot too is CM radio and the online, the visual as well as the audio. So we're like, I would still like a space where every morning children can hear things on education and culture. You understand, Randy? But every morning, every evening, and I mean once, I mean every single day, every morning, every evening. So I would still love to see that, but I'm sure that will come. So I have no problems there. I got the most confidence. And what I learned now from you, especially, you know, is that you don't go crawl, or you know what I mean, or speak about it. You can simply write, you know what I mean. So if any people out there have ideas and you know ways in which you think they can work and solutions, I'm sure the ministry be open to seeing them. You know, write a letter or send an email or call the ministry and ask if you can write a letter. And I'm sure they'll take the suggestions, because we all in this together, bro. It's like it's our children, Randy. It's our nieces and our nephews. Our children, you know, our families who it's who is going to go out, come and exactly. leave what we inherit. So
yeah,
so what we do know, and honestly, and that is real, what we doing know, and honestly, affect our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews. So it's gonna be the case. I want to hear you on how we plan to go forward. How we plan to go forward dealing with this pandemic and community, because I feel that community involvement heavily impacted with this corona, you know what I mean? And we need that back again. So how we plan to go forward with community, kids say, boy?
Well, you know, I like to look at things historically. I like to look at things holistically. Historically speaking, in 2020, karaoke were raging. Beijing on the stage was raging, and then they had the community spread, and everything went into a shell. Now, it comes down to this. Will the situation continue, or will the situation drop? I know the situation drop, but you know when you go up, you got to come down. So eventually, things got to come down. It can't stay out there all the time. I've seen the trends repeatedly. We reached a height during the summertime with the Delta variant, and things started to drop. Things are now going back to the levels of Delta variant, not quite yet there, so we have to wait and see. So all these things that we want to do is very dependent on the next couple of months. We'll think if things continue to drop, then there'll be a freeing up of a lot of things. But as we can see from this discussion, the biggest fear about the pandemic is any activity that attracts crowds. All other activities that don't attract crowds, they for the cause can be applied. Bottom line. So the fear is all these activities that attract crowds right now. So we have to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, Sluggy, we're at 23 minutes to 8 o'clock. We're actually in the 8th minute of added time, so bring it home, my friend.
Yes, I want to thank the NTA, National Transformation Initiative, again, Walker, for coming on board. Everyone, go over to www.nta.org.bb, www.nta.org.bb, and check out all the amazing courses like Citizenship, Entrepreneurship, Introduction to Coding, which is great, Core Skills, Beginner's Sign Language, Online Safety Essentials, Occupational Health and Safety, and all of these courses are absolutely free.
Fantastic.
Ross Clark.
You see, Sluggy, Sluggy, the key thing is, and let's never forget this, information has always been available during the pandemic. The opportunity to read and to learn and to educate yourself and gather a bit more knowledge. That hasn't stopped. That's why I was making the point relative to entertainment. Pleasure, 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 pleasure all the time. It can't be about pleasure all the time. It has to be about substance in other areas too. Pleasure in itself, there are elements that are important to create that pleasure. But outside of pleasure, you got to make decisions too. And these courses from the NTI will allow people that may not have that chance to go to a particular institution right now and pursue a specific course, but they can do that right here for free. And the NTI has to be commended for that, because the number of courses that they have available is mind-boggling. You will hardly find that array of options in institutions and establishments outside of the Caribbean that are renowned. They might give you a few, but not for free and not at that standard. So check it out. Check out nti.org. It's .org, right? It's .org, right?
Yes, please.
Right,
.org.bb.
Right, good.
nti.org.bb.
Good.
Thank you for that, Ronnie. Thank you for that. And big up to the NTI. Over 250 courses specifically just for you. Mr. Ronnie Eastman from Quantum Production. Of course, we're going to do this again. So thank you very much.
Hold on. Don't let him sign off yet. We said we were going to have a review. You said we're going to have a review of entertainment. And one of the things that happened last year was People's Monarch happened last year. It didn't stop. And it happened the year before in the pandemic too. And the winner last year, because they was Amber. And Randy, tell us about Amber and Soca Groupie, because since then they've gone on to do a Christmas song, Amber and her daughter, lovely Christmas song. It's going to play every Christmas as long as we're alive, and even when we're not alive. But Soca Groupie, tell us about that, because Amber's not a newcomer to singing, but certainly as a solo artist, this was a first attempt for her at this level, and it was very successful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, thanks, Ronnie. Kudos to Peter Ram. Big respect to Peter Ram. Ram is a person who wrote the track. Ram is here chilling with me. We were actually working on another song or a jingle, something we were doing. And he said to me, I got this song here for a female. And he went to the booth and started singing. I hit the record button because, you know, I started to feel the vibe. And I said, Ram, this song needs someone. And he said, man, he got a friend there that he would let sing it. I said, who? He said, Amber Blackman. I said, well, you know Amber too. Amber used to sing back up in my band. I think he had previewed it with her, with John Doe, rest in peace to him, when she was by his studio. So I think she probably heard a piece of it up there, you know, but he didn't, you know, he was just vibing at what's not. And Ram said, look, man, let me do this song, and brought in Amber. We had a lot of musicians who played on the track. Kurt Lane played keyboards, Melvin Alec on drums, Jermon Waif on guitar. I think Kurt played bass as well. The backing vocals were done by Nikita. I produced the track, of course, and it was mixed by Anthony Lohar. Fantastic, fantastic song. We really appreciate the love and support by the public. It really got traction quite early from its release, thanks to all the DJs who made it happen. It was well loved by the DJs, well loved by the public, and, you know, we're just grateful that, you know, it was successful. First Peter Peel Mark, yeah, for her. First win for her. First time doing a solo. And first time for me to be a part of anything that won too. So that was, you know, despite being in the industry for such a long time, it was really good.
I am convinced, and I told her this, that if we had, as we've all referred to as the regular season, that would have been huge in those events that weren't able to be held. And in the competitions that would have been staged, and I could just see people move into that, you know. Sometimes people are hesitant to give a vocalist that they are not accustomed seeing, or they don't know that isn't a star, any forward, as we say, or support, or they're skeptical, or deliberately just dismissive. But from the time I heard that song, I said, boy, this is a good song, very good song. And I'm sure that the rest of the Caribbean would have been hearing that song, maybe either a remix with a local artist in a specific territory, if that movement was taking place in 2021. So,
like I said, kudos to Ram. Ram wrote a fantastic song. I think he had the perfect idea for it. And in terms of the structure, the melody, everything mm-hmm. that was Ram.
Mr. Wiggins, indeed.
Yeah, but working with the youngsters and that, something don't talk about much about Ram, and it must salute Ram for all this given listening here, Randy.
Always supportive.
All the information you need, Ram, is going to keep you honest.
Honest. That is the truth.
That is something that is not, people in the pub, listen, right, Barbara, they all don't know how much people is giving you the crap. Ram is going to give you the truth to help you as he see it. And it must salute Ram for that, and big ups to Amber Blackman for doing it. You know, from time she was 14 years old, I was begging her to record music and bring it up. From time she was 14, and from time she was 14, she listened, you're gonna be a star, you know what I mean? And that's real.
And people don't know Amber is also a steel pan player, along with being a vocalist, and she's a musician. And like she can, she just know a C on the piano. Well, she know music. She can arrange. She can write music. She's very, very talented. Very, very good.
I would like now that you mentioned Peter Ram, to allow Kidsight to share his thoughts. I mean, he could take a whole program, but he can't know, because the boat is getting ready to take on the passengers at 8 o'clock. The MVVOB. But let me ask Peter Ram. Let me ask Kidsight. When Randy mentions Peter Ram, I mean, we all know who Peter Ram is. But when Kidsight was ruling local dub, Ram and Rick were looking to make their entry onto the stage. And I remember Summer Jam Boogie very well. I wonder how Kid feels, having been one of the The trailblazers in moving from that arena into the national arena in Soca and Calypso. Kid, how do you feel looking back now that Rick and Ram would have come from paying their dues as youngsters, and obviously you would have been at the top of the tree as far as you remaining in local dub is concerned. A big shout to Daddy Plume as well. He's doing well. How do you feel about looking at Peter Ram's success? Because you were one of the pivotal influences in creating a platform for people like Ram and Rick to actually come into the consciousness of Bajans.
Well, I'm quite, to be honest, I'm quite proud of Ram, you know, because we are very good friends. And I remember them coming to Summer Jam Boogie and they're cool telling them to behave themselves in connection with singing what they're singing on stage. I'm proud of those guys. Those guys have done great. Rick is my client and Rick is my friend, you know, in my tax business.
Wow.
And Ram remains my friend. In fact, I'm writing a song for Peter Ram next year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually writing a song for Peter Ram this year. So
yeah, I'm
quite proud of what these guys have done.
I think it's very important for listeners to hear that. It's important for them to hear that because the rivalry that is competitive, it is what it is, but it came from somewhere in terms of your relationship as friends, right?
Yeah, because we had a rivalry, yes. We had an intense rivalry, but now we're great friends. We had a great rivalry that we became very good friends.
Right.
And same thing as Rick and Ron.
It was a musical rivalry.
Champion, all the time we call him Mr. Champion, all things going. So, So we're great friends. I'm quite proud of these guys and what they've achieved, you know, and I'm quite proud because I had to create a business started to counter Fat Man. Fat Man was tremendous. And then the other guys took it and did a country kind of style dialect to it. And they went down the road with it from then on.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite proud when they see the guys doing the Beijing dialect and what the guys have done in soccer. I'm very proud.
Excellent. So Kev?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you, Kiss. And Ronnie, don't know how you probably knew or you didn't know that Kiss was writing a song for Ram, but your strength and your claiming is definitely impeccable, sir. So thank you very much. And the public needs to know there's so much love behind the scenes. And Kiss, that was a great story because they need to know it's love and unity. It's Ronnie Eastman, bigger. This was Beijing, Rhythm and Rhyme. You know, probably about it. The nation's number one show. This is your boy that you all love and I appreciate you so much. Uncle Sluggy Dan, and I'm out.
Happy New Year, everybody!
From Bridgetown to Bashima and everywhere else in Bim. VOB 89.9.